Hello and welcome to Natural Focus. My name is David Boag and this podcast is dedicated as a celebration of the natural world. Well, it's certainly a beautiful day here again in southern England. Spring has really arrived, it seems. Everything is springing into life. Hey, my tadpoles that I've got, I say my tadpoles, but you know what I mean. The tadpoles that I've got in my garden pond, I've actually made a special kind of area for them. And they now have grown. It's quite amazing how they've developed over the last few days. Just this little bit of sunshine, well, quite a lot of sunshine actually, an increase in temperature, and they're really looking like proper tadpoles now, you know what I mean, with these sort of a jelly blob with a proper wriggly tail instead of a rather insignificant mite, you might say. Anyway, so the tadpoles are really developing along with everything else. Of course, as the temperature warms up in the water, so of course fish begin to feed. I think the magical temperature is around about 10 degrees and then fish do begin to feed. And so if you've got a garden pond with some goldfish or something, I think it's about time we started chucking a little bit of food into the water now to encourage them to eat a bit more. But spring isn't just showing in the garden pond. There's plenty of other places you can discover it. I think on my last podcast I referred to the fact that I'd been out in the woodland photographing wild daffodils for various reasons, for publication and so on. My work as a naturalist and a wildlife photographer, I photograph all forms of nature. Mammals, birds, plants, insects, amphibians, reptiles, landscapes, snow scenes, seascapes, anything I can possibly imagine, whether it be big trees, landscapes, or tiny like insects or whatever, anything I can think of, anything that involves the natural world, I love photographing. It gives me a real buzz. And so this podcast really is about that kind of thing. Not necessarily about photography, but just the kind of things that I'm getting up to, the things that I'm seeing. And I mentioned the other day how that I'd been into the woodland, and this was, what, only a week ago, photographing wild daffodils. But even in this last week, things have changed dramatically in the woodland. Last week, it was really just the daffodils that were in flower, and the rest of the woodland, you could say, still look fairly kind of brown and dead looking. It's not dead actually, is it? But the ground cover was just brown, fallen leaves and branches and that sort of thing. And yet, in only 10 days, there's this haze of green spreading through the woodland. Of course, this haze of green is made up from a whole variety of different species that many of us would regard as incredibly common within the English woodland. Of course, if you're listening in Australia or you're in America, then these plants and the things that I'm talking about, the plants will be unfamiliar. But maybe the things that I'm talking about and the atmosphere and the feeling that I'm trying to portray, it would be familiar to you as well. But in our English woodland, suddenly the ground cover begins to build up. It's always the ground cover that comes first, isn't it, when you think about it? Plants that are on the ground in the woodland have to develop early, before their leaves form a canopy above their heads, and the leaves of the trees, rather, form a canopy, and then that cuts out the light. So any plants on the woodland floor need to develop quickly, need to flower early, need to produce seed, and their season pretty much has to be finished by about, I suppose, about June, I suppose, because by then the canopy of leaves above their heads are just too dense for much light to get through, or enough light to get through. And that, of course, is why many plants in the woodland flower so early. Really, nearly all of them do. And the plants that don't flower so early, they tend to be in the little woodland glades and rides and that sort of area where light is able to penetrate through the canopy. So now in English woodland, of course, you can see that the bluebells are beginning to come up through. They're really showing very well now. Lots of bluebells. I don't mean in flower. I just mean the plant. Yeah, there's a tendency to think when you talk about bluebells that you're talking about the flowers. No, I'm just talking about the green leaves forming a haze of green across the woodland floor. But along with that, you've got ransoms or wild garlic. That's showing as well. Quite a lot of leaf of that showing. And another plant that comes very early in the year is a plant known as Dog's Mercury. It's much overlooked, actually, Dog's Mercury. It forms great carpets of plants right the way throughout the woodland in some areas, but it's overlooked because it never produces flowers. Well, not flowers like you and I would know, yeah? Not really, not proper flowers like a bluebell produces a flower or something like that. They are just, they're actually much more like trees. They produce, in fact, that's something else about Dog's Mercury. It's a fascinating plant, although it doesn't look very much. You have male plants and female plants, okay? Now, most plants, of course, have a male part to the flower and a female part to the flower, but not Dog's Mercury. You have the whole plant that is male, or another one where the whole plant is female. And they produce, or the male produces, little kind of almost like dangly catkins. Not exactly, but they're kind of a little bit like that. And the principle of that applies because in the same way as the tree's pollen is dispersed by air currents, so the pollen of Dog's Mercury is dispersed by air currents. That's why they don't have bright, showy flowers. They don't need to attract insects. Everything in nature works for a purpose and for a reason, you see. And you don't need to have bright, showy flowers if you're not trying to attract insects. And so they just have these sort of dangly bits which produce pollen. And the male plants, of course, produce the pollen, and the air currents carry the pollen to a female plant that, again, doesn't have to have a bright, showy flower, just has to have something that captures the pollen that's in the air currents. And so, visually, you could say that Dog's Mercury is a very boring plant because it's only just green, you know, just leaves, really. And it's not very tall. It's only probably, about 6 inches high. So it's not very tall. And it's much overlooked, but actually it's a fascinating plant. It's funny, isn't it, how that we take notice of the colourful, the exciting, the dramatic, and the small insignificant things, and things like Dog's Mercury, yeah, we do tend to overlook, even though they are equally, if not even more, in this case, more interesting. Certainly, I mean, make no bones about it, I much prefer to see a wonderful haze of blue, you know, the blue of the bluebells reaching right the way through the woodland, or the white of ransoms or wild garlic. Hey, and what about the smell of wild garlic? Isn't it a shame you can't bring the smell of the woodland into your room as you listen to this podcast? Hey, or maybe not, okay. So you don't like the smell of wild garlic. What's wrong with it? I love it. It's a brilliant smell. It can be a bit pungent, but it's got a real wildwood smell about it. There's no question about that. It creates a real atmosphere of the woodland. Actually, that's a good point, really. We don't often think about scent, or we don't discuss smells very much. The smells of wild garlic, I mean, that is so strong that you can't help but, you know, refer to it if you're involved in that kind of area. But I don't know, I was just thinking about other situations. Actually, it's the smell quite often could be quite evocative of a season or a place or something along those lines, even if it's not really specifically noticeable. There is something, for example, I can imagine being in the autumn, in the fall, yeah? Walking through a piece of woodland with your Wellington boots on and your mac or coat dragged tightly around you, squelching through the mud of the woodland, and there is this in the bit of rain or a bit of drizzle, yeah, and there is this wonderful, delicious smell around and about you, the richness of the wood. It's very hard to describe. That's perhaps why we don't often talk about smells. And the other thing, when it comes to smells, I just suddenly thought about sitting in an African situation. Sitting on the veranda, just overlooking the evening Serengeti, something like that. And there is this delicious kind of smell that is Africa. I don't know what I mean by that. Can anybody else explain it? Can anybody else put it into words better than I can? Because I'm finding it really difficult to put into words. Now, as my regular listeners would know, I had every intentions of producing two of these short podcasts each week. So perhaps on a Monday and again on a Friday, I would do just little 10 minutes worth. But I'll be honest with you, as the spring is approaching, I'm getting busier and busier and busier, and I'm finding it hard to actually find the time to do two a week. What I've decided for a while anyway, rather than stop it completely, is to just cut it down. I hope you don't mind, just to cut it down to once a week. Perhaps just doing it on a Monday. I hope you understand this, because I mean, this is a crazy busy time of year for me, and I know that I'm out of the country. I've got a photo shoot to start off with all around the country in a short while. And then I know that I'm out of the country for a while. So I'm going to find it really difficult to do this twice a week. And I have to concentrate, obviously, on paid work. And I'm not paid to do this podcast, but I am paid to photograph, write and design books about wildlife and natural history. So I have to put that first, as you can imagine. So I hope you understand that. Okay then, well, with that in mind, I'm going to say goodbye to you for now. It's been really great to chat to you again for a while. Please do go and have a look at my website. As you know by now, it is Natural Focus. Obviously, you've got www.naturalfocus.co.uk. And if you want to write to me, I'd love to hear from you. I always try to reply. And my email address, of course, then is david@naturalfocus.co.uk. I look forward to hearing from you, and until the next time, bye bye.